You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Hey, I want to ask the team to just throw up the first photo that I've got for you today. I want to tell you today. I want to introduce to you and tell you about the salt flats of Bolivia. Quite an incredible natural phenomenon that has taken place, caused by the evaporation of lakes over time, which caused over 10,000 square meters of these plains, these salt crust plains. And this salt goes down like a few meters deep. It's quite amazing and phenomenal. But there's an interesting thing about it that is even more interesting than this photo. Head on over to the next photo. The most interesting thing about the salt flats of Bolivia is that in the rainy season, a very, very thin, dead, calm layer of water just settles over top of the salt and turns, makes it look like those salt flats are actually a giant mirror. As you can see in this photo, if you flip to the next one, you can see here that it looks like the sky is both beneath them and above them at the same time. And if you were to flip this photo around, I haven't asked the team to flip the photo around, but I did it on my own computer. If you flip it around, you will actually see that it looks the same upside down as it does right side up. To our eye, it looks one way. But that is what we see is different to what is actually happening close up. And that can be true with a few things in our lives, can't it? It can be true for a bunch of stuff that we experience in our life, that what we see from our perspective, what we see with our own eye, is actually different to what is happening close up or what is happening beneath the surface. And as I thought about that concept, I realized it's something that Jesus tried to teach us all throughout the Gospels when he spoke to his disciples in parables. He told parables, and within telling the parable, it would reveal to us that there were actually multiple levels of meaning within each and every parable. There was what we see initially, and then there is what might be missed if we aren't really looking. Lisa Turkhurst, she's an author and a speaker. She wrote the book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. She says this. She says, there are always two layers to your story. There's what you see, and then there's what God is doing. And that is exactly what I want to speak to you about today on this Resurrection Sunday. I want to speak to you from a message titled, Do You See What God Sees? Do you see what God sees? Because I think Easter Sunday or the Easter story is a perfect example of how sometimes what we see is not telling the full story of what God is doing. And I want us to ask the question throughout this morning of, could God be doing more than I am seeing? Could God be doing more than I am seeing? So let's look at what the resurrection shows us today. On Resurrection Sunday, let's look at three things. The first thing is this: where we see suffering, God sees victory. Where we see suffering, God sees victory. And I know that today we celebrate and we gather around the resurrection. But I want us to take a few paces back, and I want to look at what is known as the Via Dolorosa, the path Jesus takes to carry his cross to Calvary. Luke 23, we read it there. It says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on the way in from the country, and they put a cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. And a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Now, what I learnt is that Paul in Colossians actually refers to this moment. And he refers to, in referring to this moment, he vividly contrasts it. Jesus carrying the cross on the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, he contrasts it with a Roman triumphant procession. And we see it in Colossians 2, verse 13. It says, when you were dead in your sin and in the circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. And here's the bit I want to look at today. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Paul in this passage is actually pointing us to this moment where Jesus is carrying the cross through the streets, and he's contrasting it with what happens during a Roman triumphant procession. When Roman generals who won military victories, they would sometimes be awarded what was called a triumph. And it was basically a military procession where they would parade the spoils of war through the streets in a celebration of their victory. And this is what Paul was saying was happening in this moment on the Via Dolorosa. That Jesus wasn't walking this as a walk of suffering, but actually he was walking it as a walk of victory. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. That in fact, Jesus was not simply on his way to suffering, but he was on his way to victory. And isn't it interesting that when I look at that walk to Calvary, what I see is a man on the way to death. I see a man on the way to defeat, to pain, and to suffering. And I'm sure that Jesus' followers would have seen it the same way. I'm sure that the people that would have lined those streets wailing and mourning for Jesus, that is what they saw with their physical eye. What they saw was a man on the way of suffering. But Paul is trying to convince us here in Colossians that this actually needs to be seen in a different way. Perhaps could it be that the way of suffering was actually the way to victory? See, sitting right here, right now on Resurrection Sunday, we know that Jesus triumphed over death and the grave. And so here's what that means for us in our lives. It means that where we see suffering, God sees victory. In your life today, where you see suffering, God sees victory. It tells us that often our victories come through our suffering. And I know that that might not be the easiest thing to hear when you are in a season of suffering. Nobody wants to hear that when they're in pain. Nobody wants to hear that when they're in grief. Nobody wants to hear, oh, you know, your victory's coming through. I don't want that. I just want to skip to the end. We would so much rather skip to the end of the suffering, wouldn't we? And land ourselves into the victory. But we have to know what Romans 5 verse 3 says. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope, and hope, it doesn't put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, suffering has the potential to lead us to a place of victory, to a place of overcoming. During the second lockdown that we had in August of 2021, our oldest son woke up one morning and decided that he was going to run a half marathon. He was only about 11 at the time. And so he began to train for this half marathon that he had just decided, I'm going to run. And let me tell you, that boy has a certain kind of grit in him that most children his age just don't have. He had this thing where he just knew how to feel the pain and push through it. Slightly different now that he's a teenager. But at 11 years old, he just knew what it was to feel pain and push through. There were even moments at other times during training where he would train so hard he would vomit and keep on going. What 11-year-old does that? Now, some of you might be sitting here and saying, Bex, why? What is the point? Why would you do that to yourself? What is the point in all the pain, all the suffering? Just stop. Just give up. Like, how many of you know that's what's going on in our head when we are in that place of pain? But there was something in him that knew that if he could just hold on in those most difficult parts, if he could hold on through the hills, if he could hold on through the heat, if he could hold on through the pain, Then he would get to the end and he would be victorious. And some of you today are in that part of pain and defeat. You're in that place. You're in the part where it hurts in the run. And you're in the part where you just want to give up and you just want to stop. And you might be feeling right now in your situation, you might be feeling a sense of loss or a sense of grief or a sense of pain. Perhaps there's been some failure or some disappointment, some discouragement along the way. And I want to tell you today that through my own journey, what I have discovered is the only way I can walk through to my victory is on the way to the cross. It's only through the cross that I can overcome, that I can overcome those harrowing times in my life. And while we might not want to hear it, our suffering is the way to our victory. Just like it was for Jesus. Just like it was for Jesus. So the question I want us to ask ourselves today is, where in your life are you seeing suffering, but God is leading you to victory? Where in your life are you seeing suffering that God is leading you to victory? Here's the other thing that the resurrection shows us. Number two, where we see an ending, God sees a beginning. Where we see an ending, God sees a beginning. I want to tell you the story about a woman. And this woman, many years ago, began physiotherapy training in London. The dream and desire of her heart was to become a physiotherapist. But not long after she began physio school, she found out that she was pregnant and she had to drop out of physio school so that she could have her baby. And she thought at that moment that the dream was lost. She thought she'd never be able to return. She thought she'd never be able to complete her training. She thought that dream was over. Those days were done. She would never get that chance again. Fast forward 10 years, and this woman, now with three children, has moved to New Zealand. And in New Zealand, she suddenly feels the stir to pick up that dream again. She suddenly feels this desire to go after what she once thought was lost. And tentatively, she applied for physio college in Auckland. And get this, not only was she accepted into college, but she was awarded a full scholarship for one reason, her children. She was awarded a full scholarship for a mature student with kids. And that woman was my mum. The thing that looked like it had been the end of the dream became the very thing that made the dream possible. Not only that, but Mum went on to spend 20 years volunteering for pregnancy counselling services, a phone helpline for women who were facing difficult or unexpected pregnancies, where she saw an ending, God saw a beginning. And I wonder in your life right now what you're seeing as an ending, God is saying it's just the beginning. And I can only imagine that when Jesus' disciples, his loved ones, his friends, his followers saw him hanging on a cross, it would have felt very much like an ending. It would have felt very much when they watched his body being brought down from the cross, when they watched his body being laid in a borrowed tomb, when they watched that stone rolled over the entrance and the guards placed in front of it, they wouldn't have been able to see anything but an ending. We today, in this time in history, in this moment, we can call Good Friday good because we know Sunday's coming. But imagine a Friday with no view of Sunday. Imagine the cross with no knowledge of the resurrection. It wouldn't feel very good. An end to dreams, an end to a hope, an end to plans, an end to relationships, an end to seasons. Some of you are here today and all you see is an end. But the resurrection assures us that often when we see an end, God says, no, no, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And the question that I want us to ask ourselves today is, where in my life am I seeing an ending, but God has a beginning? Where in your life is God, are you seeing an ending, but God has a beginning? I'm going to ask Sammy on the keys to come and join me now. Here's the third and final thing that the resurrection assures us. It assures us that where we see death, God sees life. Where we see death, God sees life. Our boys were really into the Narnia movies. And after watching The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, especially our oldest boy, it was like compulsory sword fights. And in these sword fights, the loser, which was usually one of us, would get revived and brought back to life using the imaginary, don't panic, healing cordial. You know, the one that Lucy gets given by Father Christmas in the movie? Just a drop, and away we go. The fight continues and we can go on. We're revived to life again. Well, one day during this season where there was lots of sword fights and lots of healing cordial going around, a mouse came into our house. I was hugely pregnant with our second boy, Rocky, and this mouse was giving me nightmares. I said, Steve, there is no circumstance in which this mouse can stay. You need to get rid of him. I don't care what you do. Now, Steve is a lover of all living things, and he always tries to save life where he can. He's a bit like a doctor, you know. Isn't that their motto? Isn't that a doctor's motto? Do no harm. There we go. That's his motto with all the insects and the creatures and the spiders and everything that comes into our house. I'm like, just kill it. He's like, no, do no harm. Anyway, he couldn't catch this mouse. So I said, right, it's time to get out the snap and trap, mouse trap. So he sets up the mouse trap with some peanut butter and some Marmite or something. Anyway, it's about 3 days later and Steve walks into the garage and there's a little mousey dead. Before he has a chance to close the garage door and discreetly dispose of little mousey, Judah walks in. And he says, you should have seen the look on his little face, trying to compute what is going on. And then he says, but we'll just give him some healing cordial, eh? And there it was, the conversation where we had to explain that healing cordial wasn't going to work this time. For all of us, I think we have those things in our lives, don't we? Those things in our lives where it seems to us that no amount of wishing, no amount of hoping, and sometimes no amount of praying or healing cordial, it seems like is going to bring that thing back to life. Some things just feel dead and buried. Some things just come to an end. And often those ends feel like death sentences. Mark 15, verse 46 says, Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in the entrance, in the front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Let's just take note for a moment that this is the last they saw of Jesus, their friend, their teacher, their leader, their saviour and king, lying dead in a tomb. That was the last thing they saw. And then we read in Mark 16, verse 1, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The woman was shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell the disciples. This moment, this encounter was so contrary. I mean, they were literally bringing burial spices for his dead body. It was so contrary to what they were expecting to see that they were visibly shocked. No surprises. Because where they saw death, God saw life. And I wonder what dream, I wonder what passion, I wonder what hope is in you that you last left in the grave. Dead, buried. I wonder if today God wants to breathe new life, new hope into that dream, that passion. Where we see death, God sees life. And he doesn't just see it, he offers it to every single one of us today. And this is the ultimate of promises, isn't it? It's the ultimate. Because ultimately, this is the very thing Jesus died and rose to give us. Life. Life. The ultimate gift we received through Christ is the gift of eternal life. He conquered death and the grave that we too might conquer death and the grave and receive eternal life with God in heaven. This life he has for you, yes, it's for your present right here and right now so that you can live it here on earth, but ultimately it was for your eternity. God made you, loves you, but our sin leaves us dead on the inside and it separates us from God now and in eternity. But through Christ's death, through his resurrection, we too can overcome sin and death and the grave, and we can live in a brand new life today, transformed from the inside out, but more importantly, an eternity with him. Not separated, but close. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think today on Resurrection Sunday, we can't find a more important day, I think, than acknowledging this in our own lives. And if you are here today and you do not know Jesus, and maybe today you are far from him, perhaps you've come along with somebody, maybe you've been sitting here this whole service and you just know God is speaking to you and you've been waiting for this moment to come because you know that this is your moment, I would love to invite you to pray a very simple prayer with me. I'm going to pray the prayer out loud. I want you to join me. If you're saying today, I don't know God, I do not have an assurance of eternal life with him, today's your day. Online, today's your day. I'm going to pray this prayer right now, and I'm going to ask every single person, you can join me, you can pray this prayer. Are you ready? Say these words just in your heart. I'll say them out loud. God, today, on Resurrection Sunday, I surrender my life to you. I know that I have sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. And today, I choose to turn from my old way of life and I turn to you. Come in and be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new today. I choose this day to live for you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.